What should we do? The people asked this question of John the Baptist because they were living in expectation. The great expectation in Israel was an event for which Israel had been waiting 490 years. And so as a result, it's natural for them to ask, what should we do to be ready? The answer from John is surprisingly simple. Live content, live generously, live joyfully. It may not sound like an exciting answer, but it's the answer the church gives us this Sunday to prepare our hearts. Live content, live generously, live joyfully. In Israel, there was a great expectation of the coming of the Messiah because of a prophecy from Daniel while Israel was still in exile in Babylon. Daniel foretold that 490 years would pass from the time a proclamation was issued for the Jewish people to return to Israel until the time when the Messiah would appear. Historical records show that one of those proclamations occurred in 458 BC, and another one was in the last one was in 444 BC. So the time of fulfillment was somewhere between 32 and 44 AD. The time of fulfillment was upon him. And it was in that situation that John the Baptist, a great prophet, enters the picture. What is our level of expectation and anticipation? Has the Christmas season lost much of its divine spark? Do we know the reason for the season? Yeah, we know the birth of God's Son as one of us. But our awareness of it doesn't go much past the image of a remote stable in Bethlehem. What is the reason behind the reason for the season? What is it about the coming of God's Son that matters to us? Do we have a compelling enough reason to ask, what should we do? Our first reading explains the reason behind the reason. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in his love. This is the Christian's cause for joy. God is in your midst, and he's rejoicing over you with gladness. If you really believe that, how would that change your life? Are we aware of what God is doing for us? Or do we find it so easy to forget? It's important because when we forget, we fail to see the connection between the promise of God and the questions that the people are asking of John the Baptist. What should we do? Notice it's not, what should we think, or what should we intend, or what should we desire? It's, what should we do? It's an important difference. You know, for example, I frequently find that I'll read things about the value of sacrifice, and I'll reflect upon the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, but then I kind of fall short when it comes time to take action. I fail in something simple like self-discipline, between snacking between meals or eating smaller portions. And spiritual fruit goes unharvested because I don't act in response to my prayer and my reading. Our readings give us three actions to prepare our hearts for Jesus to enter. What should we do? Stop collecting more than what is prescribed. Be satisfied with your wages. In other words, live content. Become more aware of the gifts you have received. If you have enough, be content with what you have. That sounds so simple, but how often do we go about, you know, let's say we go buy something to replace something we already own? How many times are we caught up in the cycle of having the next, the latest, the greatest? You know, trading in the iPhone 7000 for the 7000S. Is that really what God wants for us? Perhaps we're even consumed with envy or jealousy. There is peace in living more simply. And doing so opens our hearts more to God's presence. If we are not content, rather than seeing the joys and the beauties of life, our time and energy are consumed elsewhere, and we live anxious, dissatisfied lives. What should we do? Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and the person who has food should do likewise. Two coats? How about five coats and 20 pairs of shoes, closets and drawers filled with clothes that we wouldn't wear even if we could fit in them? Stuff we have in storage buildings for which we pay monthly rent? I remember when we emptied my parents' pantry and their two freezers after they died. It was so much expired food that we just threw away. Most of us are living from a place of abundance, so live generously. When we realize how generous God has been with us, it's easier for us to be generous with others. Take some time and let go of that unnecessary stuff. Maybe commit to spending less on Christmas presents for yourself and others, and take the money not spent on Christmas presents and donate it to places like Mepkin Abbey, the Golden Harvest Food Bank, Catholic Relief Services, or the local Crisis Pregnancy Center. Become more attentive to the needs of others and the call for you to be a gift to them. Not only will you experience the joy of helping those in need, but you will also have the added peace of living more simply, of being content with what you have. Your heart will be more open to the coming of Christ. What are we to do? Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, Israel. Be glad and exult with your heart. In other words, live joyfully. This isn't a passive, reserved joy that we keep to ourselves. It's an active joy that's proclaimed to others. As was said in our psalm, give thanks to the Lord, acclaim his name, among the nations make known his deeds. Why? It's what we heard earlier. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in his love. That is the central message of Christmas and of our entire faith. The shepherds, the angels, the magi, the stable, the gifts, they're all beautiful images, but they're there to proclaim the fulfillment of God's promise after hundreds of years of waiting. If we miss the reason behind the reason, nothing else in our faith makes much sense or has much value. How many of us live this way, lukewarm, with no compelling reason to live our faith other than out of habit or tradition? It is these truths of our faith which inspire us to live content and to live generously. Otherwise, it would make more sense to just live for ourselves, consumed with possessing more of the world, which some of us are doing. But it will never be enough without God. Why are some people not joyful? They've not yet figured out how to live content. And if they are content, they've not yet learned true generosity. It's difficult to be joyous if we are not first content and generous, because our hearts are not open to the abundant life to which God promises us. Hear it again. God is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in his love. It's worth noting that the verse before the start of our gospel is this: every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. The three steps involve concrete action, more than just thoughts, and the consequences for doing nothing are serious. Live content, live generously, live joyfully. The message of the gospel needs to be more than just words on a page. It needs to be a message proclaimed by the concrete actions of our life. May God fill you once again with anticipation of his coming. And may you experience the fulfillment which is at the center of Christmas, that God is in your midst, that he is rejoicing over you with gladness, and that he will renew you in his love if you open your heart to let him.